Absolutely. Good evening. Our passage today is from Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. We'll be starting at verse 12, 12 to 21. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers, and chose their offspring after you, after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. This passage comes during the wandering of the Israelites in the wilderness. I'm wondering if anyone didn't catch the passage, it was Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12 through 21. Might have gotten a little fast there. All right, so this comes during the wilderness wandering of the Israelites. Moses had gone up Mount Sinai, and he brought back the Ten Commandments written on two stones by God's own hand. And when he returned to the camp, the Israelites were worshiping the golden calf. The people had shattered their covenant with God, and Moses shattered the tablets of the covenant. God told Moses to cut two new tablets, and God wrote the Ten Commandments a second time on them, and Moses put them in the ark. So the people had broken their covenant with God, but God in his mercy remained faithful to them. They were still his people. So our passage comes immediately after this episode. Moses is telling the people what kind of lives and what kind of hearts God's people should have. They are God's chosen people, but they don't live as if they belong to God. So let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will be here with us, that you will open our eyes and ears to hear you, that you will enable me to preach clearly. I pray that you will help us through this this passage to understand and learn how and why to fear God, to fear you. Help us to learn that and to live that out in our day-to-day lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We all want to belong, don't we? We're members of families, of nations, of clubs. Some clubs are very serious and others are not. One that falls maybe somewhere in between is called the British Lawnmower Racing Association. It was founded in 1973, and I'm quoting from a newspaper article about this club. This pastime has spread like crabgrass, and now you can join official lawnmower racing clubs in the US, Germany, Luxembourg, Canada, New Zealand, and the Czech Republic. If you don't necessarily want to join the lawn mowing Lawnmower Racing Association, but you do want to stay current with the standings, and it says obviously, be sure to check out their blog, The Cutting Edge. Many clubs have membership requirements. One is called the 300 Club, which I have actually heard of before I found this list of weird clubs. It's called the 300 Club, and it can only be joined in Antarctica on days when it's colder out than minus 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So you go into a hot sauna at plus 200 degrees Fahrenheit, and then you have to run outside when it's minus 100 Fahrenheit, run around a pole, come back into the sauna, and you have a 300 degree temperature difference in between those. So our passage today is not laying out the membership criteria for being in God's family. It's talking about the kind of person God wants you to be and what you progressively do become when you're adopted into God's family. And the number one thing that our passage calls for is that we should fear God. So our outline is fear God, what, why, how. Fear God. What does it mean to fear God? Why should we fear God? And how do we fear God? What, why, how? All right, so first, what? What does it mean to fear God? Moses starts off this passage with an urgent plea. He says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good." So what does the fear of the Lord, what does fear the Lord your God mean? Abraham, for example, feared God when he was willing to sacrifice his only son Isaac in Genesis 21. The angel of God tells him, "Now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." The fear of God is an awe and a reverence for God. It's reverence for the sovereign creator of the universe and for his authority over our very lives. Moses seems to clarify the fear of God in verses 12 and 13 in our passage. Immediately after he says, "Fear the Lord," he also says, "Walk in all his ways, love him, serve him with all your heart and all your soul, and keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord." So I think those are there as four aspects of what it means to fear God. And that's how we'll take that today. So first, we can fear the Lord if we walk in all his ways. Our lives should reflect God's ways, God's character. We're to be imitators of God. And our role model as Christians is, of course, Jesus Christ. We're to walk in him. So fearing the Lord means to walk in all his ways. A second thing fearing the Lord means is that God brought up Moses. The second part of fearing God that Moses brought up is loving him. So loving him is a second aspect. Why did you obey your parents as a child? You probably wanted to please, or your guardian, you probably wanted to please them and feared the consequences of not obeying them. Similarly, part of fearing God is loving him wholeheartedly and not wanting to do anything that offends him. So we can fear God by loving him. A third aspect of fearing God is to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. God is ultimate. He's infinite. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. And of all people or things or ideas that we might serve, he's the only one who truly deserves to be our master. He uniquely draws our hearts and our souls to himself. God is beautiful, pure, and holy, and good. So the only way to truly serve an infinite and good God is to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So that's the third aspect of fearing God, to serve him with all your heart. For the last aspect of fearing God, Moses says, keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Fearing God means obeying him. It might seem like it should be easy to obey the God you love, but none of us perfectly obey God, let alone have perfect motivation for doing it. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, from Romans 3:23. Remember Paul in Romans chapter 7? He says, I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that lives in my members. Maybe you have the same internal fight. I know I do. But are you fighting the sin? Are you praying to God to strengthen you in your time of temptation? Are you clinging to faith when God seems hidden? In other words, another way of putting this might be, do you delight in the law of God? Like Moses in our passage, I urge you to fear God. That is, walk in Jesus' way, love God, joyfully serve him, and obey him. So that is what fearing God is. So now let's look at why from this passage. Why should we fear the Lord? Reading through this passage, I see Moses making a passionate plea to the Israelites rather than like an organized lecture or something like that. He's urging them, encouraging them, motivating them. He circles from plea to argument to example to argument around and around. And there are several places in this passage where Moses gives reasons why the Israelites should fear God. So let's start with verse 14. I'm going to start in the middle, but the sentence still makes sense. To the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart and love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. So how is this a reason to fear God? Moses is urging them to see what a blessing they have. God is the sovereign Lord of all the earth, all the universe, yet he set his heart on them above all peoples. They don't understand the incredible privilege they have to be chosen by the King of the universe to be his people. Those who trust in Christ, right here, you too, we too, were chosen by the King. What a privilege that is. Moses gives a second reason for fearing God, why we should fear God, at the end of verse 17, where he emphasizes God's justice and fairness. He says, God is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Obey God and reverence him, fear him, because he is not only sovereign, but loving and kind. What a beautiful and glorious combination that is, isn't it? Omnipotence and love. This is why we should love him. He found us naked and unlovable, but he still loved us and chose us as his own people. Fear him because he is a loving God. That's our second reason why we should love God. Our third reason that we should love God is in verses 21 and 22. Moses reminds the Israelites of the mighty works that God has already done on their behalf during the Exodus. God grew them into a great nation in Egypt when they started as only 70 people originally. God freed them from slavery with the 10 plagues. God parted the Red Sea. He did these mighty works on their behalf. So why don't they put their trust in him? for our fourth reason why we should fear the Lord, we're going to circle back, just like Moses isn't going linearly. We're going back now to verse 13 near the beginning of our passage. Moses says to keep God's commandments, commands for your good. Why fear God? Is it so he can use you and take advantage of you? No, of course not. God has every right to demand anything he wants from us, but he doesn't do it that way. No, he commands for our good. In the last few centuries, many distorted versions of morality have come to seem like common sense to a lot of people. And one of these ideas is the idea that benefiting from doing a good deed, robs the deed of its goodness. If you benefit, it wasn't good. But what God commands, but what God commands, we need to do, we better do. But what God commands is truly for our own eternal good. So it is both good and good for us to obey God. Are there times when you find it hard to trust in God? Remember the Lord's infinite power and knowledge and love. Remember his mighty works in the past and in your life. Remember that he chose you despite your weakness and vulnerability. And put your trust in him today, and then tomorrow, and then the next day. And remember, everything he commands us is for our own eternal good. Fear him. But how? So that's our last point. How to fear God. Moses gives us many specific commands, but we are weak, fallen, sinful people, and we can't keep all of God's commands. So Moses tells the Israelites in verse 16, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. Circumcision was the physical sign of God's covenant with Abraham. It marked them as purified and set apart by God from the nations. The people are stubbornly resisting God, but they need to listen to him, love him, serve him, and obey him. They are God's people. They need to live as God's people. The Israelites were God's people. They had the sign of the covenant, but something was missing. In verse 13, Moses says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. The issue is pure hearts that are wholly devoted to fearing God, and only God can purify hearts. In Romans chapter 2, 28 and 29, Paul talks about people with circumcised hearts. Paul says, for a person is not a Jew who is one outwardly. And true circumcision is not something visible in the flesh. On the contrary, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart. From the time of Abraham, the outward symbol, circumcision, was a sign. It wasn't the reality. What made the Israelites God's people was his own promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, starting back in Genesis 12. It wasn't their obedience. What made them God's people was the promise, not their own obedience. And what makes Christians God's people is God's promise. But the sign of belonging to God has changed. It's a circumcised heart, a heart that trusts in Jesus, that makes you God's own. We can't obey perfectly. We don't always want to obey, even though we love God. But by God's grace, we can trust in Jesus. And that is more than enough. Because God sent his son Jesus to live the life of obedience that we should have lived but didn't. God sent Jesus willingly to the cross to pay the penalty for all our sins. He places our sin on Jesus, and Jesus' perfect righteousness on us. And the thing that sets it all in motion is God's love. God's love working in our hearts purifies or circumcises our hearts. The result isn't perfect obedience in us, but persistent and increasing trust in Jesus in our hearts. And trusting, circumcised hearts please our Heavenly Father. Clubs have entrance requirements. For example, you probably need a lawnmower to be an active member in the lawnmower racing club. Being one of God's people isn't like that. Jesus described it as a wedding feast where everyone needed to be wearing wedding clothes to be a guest at the feast. But the wedding clothes were apparently provided free to anyone who wanted to enter. That's from Luke chapter 14. So how do you fear God? You take the first step. You trust in God. And understand this. Your trust in God came from God. So trust Him. Trust in Him. When you're tempted or doubting or worried, trust Him. From our passage this morning, continue in the faith, stable and steadfast. And how do you know that you have trusted Him? Paraphrasing Pastor Reese, who has often said this, and I'm not going to get the wording exactly right, but you don't have to know when you first believed or first trusted. The question is, are you trusting in Jesus now? So put your trust in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray that we will all put our trust in You, that we will trust You today and tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and all of our tomorrows. We thank You that You are the sovereign Lord of the universe, yet You love us and You choose us as Your people. We thank You that You are a God who commands things for our own good. We pray that Your kingdom will grow and that Jesus will come again soon. We long to be with You forever. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.